Philippians chapter number 1. I had no idea there was so much in Philippians chapter number 1, but I'm enjoying digging, aren't you? Amen. Amen. We left off last week where Paul said in verse number 18, "What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." We know that that word rejoice right there, I told you it comes from that second, that Greek word that means to be calmly happy and to be well off. Paul's in prison. Paul has some people that are really preaching of envy and strife. And he's not what you call jumping up and down with joy about that. But in his heart, he knows that Jesus is being preached. And he's glad about it. Amen? He knows that if a donkey could say Jesus, amen, somebody could understand. Amen? That's the sweetest name that anybody's ever heard on the face of the earth. And then in verse number 19 is where we'll pick up tonight. He said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness," I love these two words right here, they caught my attention today, "as always." I've been saved for 27 and a half years. I don't know about the other preachers in the church, but I haven't always been bold. But Paul said that boldness with him was always, amen. How many can identify with what I just said, amen? There have been times when we should have spoke up, but we just kind of backed up a little bit, amen. I will say this, that's one thing that's wrong with our country. I believe God's people along the way should have did a lot more speaking up than what they have done. Amen. We've been run over, and some of it at least is our own fault, I believe. Now, he said, "With all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body." And this is a very wonderful statement. He says, "Whether it be by life or by death." Paul is confident that Christ is going to be magnified regardless of what happens to him. Amen. And I love that. He said in here, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not." Let me just say something right here. I'm not going to fuss with the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to do that. But actually, we don't get to choose. How many understands what I just said? Amen. Paul said he's in a strait betwixt the two. He's looking on the other side. Amen. He's done been over on the other side. Y'all remember that? We'll look at that in a minute. Amen. Then he's looking here around him. And he says, "I know it's far better over there." Amen. But he said, "For me to abide here with you is needful." And so we really don't get to choose. We can choose as far as serving the Lord. But as far as when we get to go home, that's going to be God's decision. Amen. He said, "For I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I'm as straight betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith." Caught something there today as I studied. "That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here and look into the Word of God once again. I pray, Lord, tonight that there would be truths, our Father, that would come forth. God, that would be a blessing to us, be a help to us. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help our precious people along the way this evening. God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for what you've already done for us. But Lord, as we look into the Scripture tonight, we see that, Lord, the best is yet to come for the children of God. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us to look for and long for and live for the appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus, whose name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. We're going to look here tonight at these verses and just get down through here as far as time will allow us tonight. But Paul said here, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Some think that Paul was saying that these events that have taken place are he's assured that it's guaranteed that at this particular point in time he's not going to die. There is some of the text down through here that seems to indicate that. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence. Now, when you use the words know, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. You might say this. You might say, how could the Apostle Paul use words like, I know? Well, I'm reminded. I believe the Spirit of God reminded me. I didn't study this today. But I'm reminded over there of the storm in Acts chapter 27. You remember what God showed the Apostle Paul? That they were all going to make it. You remember that? He said, you got to stay with the ship. Amen. If you'll stay with the ship. How many of them made it? Every one of them. Some of them swam. Some of them floated on pieces of the broken ship. But every one of them made it. So you say, preacher, how could Paul speak so emphatically? I believe because probably, and not probably, I believe that God had spoken to him and let him know, amen, that his work was not yet finished. You say, preacher, I don't see how you could say that. Listen, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is what Paul said. The time of my departure is at hand. You know what? God let him know when he was going to stay, and God let him know when he was going to go, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, that's in God's hands when we stay. I like what the songwriter said. I'm a winner either way. Hallelujah. Amen. If I go or if I stay, either way, I win. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is magnifying here in the text. He said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. You remember when they prayed for Peter? He got out of jail and they couldn't believe it. Amen. I wish I could remember a story. I heard it or read it a little while back, but it was brought before the judge, and what it amounted to was that the church was not believing. It appeared that the church was not believing that God had answered prayer, and that the sinner folk was believing that God had answered prayer. Amen. Just the opposite of the way that it should be. And Paul said here, he said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is letting us know in verse number 19, he's locked up. Yes, he is. But he has all he needs, even locked up. Amen. And I believe that's why he could say in another text, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'll tell you, it's one thing to sing the song, He's All I Need. It's another thing to live the life. He's all I need. If you're on the mountain, He's all I need. If you're on the mountainside, He's all I need. And if you're in the deepest valley, He's all I need. And I believe that was reflected in the life of the Apostle Paul. He said here, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. You know, if you go over there to Romans, I believe it is, chapter number 5, there's a wonderful verse of Scripture. I believe it's about verse 5, I believe. Let me look here and see. Concerning our hope. The Bible said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Here Paul uses a similar phrase. He said, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." I believe that Paul expected everything to come out all right, one way or the other. He knew that his Lord was in control. I'd like to have some more of that faith, wouldn't you? Amen. Just to know that my Lord is in control. I was thinking about Brother Lonnie, and they said the last time that he preached would have been Sunday, I guess, 2 weeks ago from this last Sunday. And that he stood in front of the pulpit and raised up his hand and shouted, and then came back on a Sunday night and preached on 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, how the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Looking back on it, both of his sons believed that God had let him know it wasn't going to be long, and he was headed home. Amen. Headed to the house. What a blessing that is tonight. Watch this here. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. You know, sometimes we get just what we expect. But sometimes we don't expect much. Is that not right? Amen. Listen to me carefully right here. We ought to open our Bible expecting God to speak to our hearts. We ought to pray expecting God to answer our prayer. We ought to give somebody the gospel expecting God to speak to their heart. We ought to come to church expecting God to bless. Amen. We ought to sing the songs of Zion expecting, my friend, to praise the Lord as we do it. Amen. I believe with all my heart, Paul had an earnest expectation. He had an earnest hope. And he said that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This reminds me of those three Hebrew children. When they brought them up there to the furnace and said, "Now you're going to bow to the image or else." And they said, "Well, we need you to know something, King. Our God's able to deliver us." Paul knew that. He knew that his God was able to deliver him. Amen. But I tell you, those three Hebrew children said to the king, "But be it known unto thee, O King, we will not bow." Amen. I believe with all of my heart that's what this generation needs. Amen. It's some mothers and fathers and mammals and papals and Christians that will not bow, amen, to the idolatry of this world, amen, and the things that have taken over in our society. The Bible said here, "As always, now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." When I look at the word magnified in the Scripture, I can't help but think about a couple of things. One would be a telescope. Now, I've never really looked through a real good telescope. I guess years ago when I was in school in Baltimore, northeast of Baltimore, about 20 miles, we went to a planetarium where they had a telescope, and that was probably the best one that I've ever looked through. But when Paul says magnified in my body, that Christ be magnified, there's a couple of things that take place. In other words, there's something far off that is brought nearer. Amen. How many believes that? Amen. You take something out there that's far off, but then you can see it clearly when it's magnified. How many believes our church ought to be magnifying the Lord? How many believes our families ought to be magnifying the Lord? How many believes, my friend, listen, each and every Christian life ought to be magnifying the Lord. And we ought to magnify Him while we live. And when it comes time to die, I thank God I've seen this over and over and over in the lives of God's people. They'll magnify the Lord even as they leave out of this old sin-cursed world. Amen. Magnify the Lord. And then not only does it take something that is far off and bring it nearer, but it takes something that appears to be small and makes it bigger. Amen. You know what we could have? We could have a revival in America if God's people would just magnify the Lord. Amen. The society that we live in, He appears to be small. But we ought to be making Him bigger. Amen. We ought to be bringing Him nearer to where that they live. How many believes them soldiers when they got chained up there to the Apostle Paul? How many believes Christ got a little nearer? Amen. How many believes Christ got a little bigger? Amen. I tell you what, they couldn't get away from Him. Amen. And that's why the Bible said that He was talked about, the Lord was talked about through all the palace. Amen. And I told you, I believe that happened one mouth to one heart, one mouth to one heart at a time. Amen. As the Lord let the Word of God spread through the palace. Paul is saying here, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let me just say this to you tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. I believe, I hope you'll agree with me, but I believe that in suffering is when we have our greatest opportunity to magnify the Lord. Now listen to me a minute. With Job, everything was going real good, right? One day in the life of Job, everything was going real good. He's got 10 kids. He's got a big farm. He's got a fortune. Amen. He's got a fine wife. And then one day the bottom fell out of everything. Let me tell you what happened when the bottom fell out of everything in the book of Job. God got real big. Amen. You come along there and his wife said, honey, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me just say this. I believe that had a bigger impact on those around him than when he's magnifying the Lord and everything's going well. And I believe that'll be the same in your life and in my life. There are going to be days when it's going to seem like a rug's been pulled out from under us. And how we respond to that is going to determine whether we magnify the Lord or not. Amen? And we need to magnify the Lord in our suffering. We need to magnify the Lord in our circumstances. Amen? And just magnify the Lord in our lives. The Bible said here, He said, I shall not be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. That is the secret of the Christian life. The Christian life is not about trying. The Christian life is about trusting. Let me just say something to you tonight. Trying will wear you out. The Word of God said that the just shall live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. Paul said it like this. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I believe that's important tonight to understand that all God requires of you and all God requires of me is that we be faithful, that we be full of, that we believe God. Because that pleases God when we believe Him and it magnifies the Lord in the presence of others. He said, for me to live is Christ. But he adds something to that. He said, to die is gain. To die is gain. I don't know about you tonight, but I want you to just let your mind for a few seconds. Let your mind think about, what have you got to gain? I mean, everybody in life, we make decisions, I guess, every day. Every day we make a series of decisions. You understand what I mean? We decide what we're going to eat. We decide what we're going to wear. We decide where we're going to go. And then sometimes things come along in our life and make those decisions for us. Isn't that right? I mean, praise the Lord. I love my wife. And if something happened to her tonight and she had a hard pain all of a sudden, I'm going to try to get her to the doctor. Amen. I said, Brother Gary, close this service out. Amen. I'm going to try to get her over there and get her some help. You understand what I mean? But listen tonight. I believe with all of my heart, when Paul is saying for me to live as Christ, that's wonderful. He's saying he's living in me. I want him to live through me. I want to be a channel. I believe that's what Jesus was speaking of to the woman of Samaria when he said, I'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I like to say she came with a bucket and left with a well. Amen. Glory to God. She went back to town spewing too, didn't she? Amen. Come see a man that told me all things. But what do we have to gain? I imagine if a man got up this morning, was looking at his stocks and his bonds and trying to decide whether to keep or whether to sell or whether to trade or whether to buy, one of the things he would have on his mind. I said, I imagine. How many of y'all know why I said, I imagine? Amen. Because I have to imagine. Amen. But he would be thinking, Brother Johnny, what do I have? What do I have to gain? What do I have to gain? Well, let me ask you a question tonight. What does the child of God have to gain? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What in the world do we have to gain? Well, that's a bad way to put it. What out of this world do we have to gain? Amen. If we die, what do we have to gain tonight if we die? Think about that for just a moment. The Lord, give me a few things and I'll share them with you. If you'll let me, and if you won't let me, I'll share them with you anyway. Amen. But listen, what do we have to gain? The first thing I thought about, I just pinned down about four things here tonight, is his presence. Yeah. Oh, you say, preacher, we experience the presence of the Lord now. We sure do. By faith. Yeah. But how many knows that even Moses, how many knows Moses walked pretty close to God? Not a meeker man in all the earth, the Word of God said. Amen. But even Moses wanted to see him. Ain't that right? And God said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Amen. And I'll cover thee there with my hand. I'll, when I go by, you'll see my hinder parts. Amen. Even Moses wanted to experience. Even in the children of Israel, in the tabernacle, when the glory came down and the presence of God filled the tabernacle, that's still not to be compared with what the child of God is going to experience when we breathe our last breath here and breathe our first breath over yonder. Amen. Let me show you something tonight. Turn over there with me to 2 Corinthians real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible was laid upon Brother Lonnie's breast in the casket there the other day, and it was open to last night. It was open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, and in chapter number let me look here in verse number 7 of chapter 4. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Come over to chapter 5 with me. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self the same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Watch now. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, watch this now, we are absent from the Lord. Now listen, Paul's down there in the jail in the book of Philippians. How many believes the Lord's presence is real? when Paul and Silas is down there in the jail. Amen. And the Philippian jailer gets saved. How many believe God's presence was real? But Paul is speaking here of something different than what we experience by faith. Amen. He said to be present in this old body is to be absent from the Lord. In other words, my friend, one day faith is going to turn into sight. Amen. What we've heard about, what we've sung about, what we've read about, what we've worshiped about, it's going to come to fruition, and we shall see Jesus. Amen. We're going to be present with the Lord. Watch this. He said here, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. And I believe it's important tonight that we understand what the apostle is talking to us about there. We can experience God's presence by faith and thank the Lord that we do. But I tell you, there's coming a day when God's people are going to step off into His presence. Amen. Like we've never experienced His presence before. Not only are we going to experience God's presence, but I made a little note of this. We're going to experience God's perfection. Somebody said, what's it going to be like when we step off in God's presence? Well, there's a whole lot I don't know about it, but I sure can rejoice in what I do know. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Amen. I like those two words, don't you? Like Him. Like Him. You say, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is to be like Him. For me to live is to strive, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forth to those things which are before. For me to live, my friend, is to put off the old man and put on the new man. But he said to die. No longer am I striving, amen, to be like Him. I will be perfectly like Him when I leave this world. What a blessing that is tonight. Let me just say this tonight. Why would people that don't want to be like Him in this life want to go to heaven? Why would somebody that does not enjoy God's people and God's presence in this life want to fool around and go to heaven? Amen. Where we'll be exactly like Him. Amen. I don't know. Amen. I believe some's got their signals mixed up, don't you? God's presence and God's perfection. We're going to be like Him. We're going to think like Him. We're going to act like Him. Amen. By the way, that's where the Christians got their name anyway, down there at Antioch. They didn't raise up one day and have a meet and say, well, we're going to call ourselves. No, the world said that outfit's so much like Jesus. We'll just call them Christians. Amen. What a blessing it is to have somebody else to call you a Christian. Amen. To call you a Christian. God's presence will gain His presence. God's perfection will gain His perfection. And then I wrote this down. This may not do much for you, but it does a lot for me. God's people. You say, preacher, we get to enjoy God's people now. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot more of them than us. Amen. You know, when you think about people in the Bible, isn't it going to be wonderful to get to associate with Peter? To get to associate with Paul, to get to associate with David, to get to associate with Samson. Amen. Y'all right back there, Brother Houston, are you going to survive? Amen. Praise the Lord for babies. Amen. Houston's got one over here. Frankie's got one back there. And I don't know if either one of them's going to survive. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord for them youngins. Amen. I tell you, thank the Lord for them. But over there in heaven, we're going to get to meet all of God's youngins. My Uncle Bill was 4 years old when they discovered something was wrong with him. His hands began to draw. And he began to be abnormal. He couldn't speak anymore. His feet and legs began to draw, and he drawled up into like a fetal position. He had to be fed like a baby. He had to be diapered like a baby. My dad went by the nickname June. Some would call him Junior. Dad was not actually a junior, because to be a junior, you need to have the first and middle and last name of your dad. But Dad was John Vannoy Jr. My grandpa was John Franklin Vannoy. But anyway, he got by with it for all these years, so I reckon it'll be all right. But Uncle Bill would only see Dad once a year. He would come from Baltimore down. And when Dad walked in the room, Brother Terry, just like you plugged him into a socket, he'd light up and he'd say, Dune, there was something went on in their childhood, amen, that youngin' had not forgot. He had not forgot Daddy's face. He had not forgot Daddy's voice. And Daddy always had something for him, amen. He'd say, Dune, and didn't call anybody else's name. You say, preacher, what about the people of God? Let me just tell you something right now. Next time I see him, he ain't going to be drawn up. Next time I see him, amen, he's not going to be in a diaper. He's not going to be in a wheelchair. He's not going to be a burden. He's going to be a blessing, amen. And many others just like him, amen. I tell you, the people of God, what do we have to gain? We have to gain, my friend, we get to meet the entire family. The entire family of God. I don't know about you, but you think about that table. Ooh, I don't know how long it is or how wide it is, but I know this. We're going to sit down to a meal that's just right. Amen. And I tell you, the fellowship is going to be sweeter than it ever has been. Amen. And the food's going to be gooder than it ever has been. And it's just going to be a blessing to get around the table with all of God's people, to get around the throne of the living God. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be around God's people. I don't know, but I feel sorry for folk, listen to me tonight, that don't enjoy God's people. Amen. Amen. Don't you? I feel sorry for folk that don't enjoy God's people. Amen. You say, preacher, I wish you was a little bit more like me. Well, I'm glad you ain't like me. Amen. I'm glad God made us all different. Amen. And you start trying to squeeze everybody into your mold, it won't be no wonder you're miserable. Say amen. God made us individuals, just like snowflakes. Amen. I'm telling you, ain't none of us alike. Amen. But thank God we have a common denominator. Miss Eve will have to remind me after a while what that was in math. I think that's that bottom number, isn't it? Amen. We have a common denominator, and His name's Jesus. And we're the people of God, and we enjoy one another and enjoy one another's presence. We've got God's presence to gain. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We've got God's perfection to gain. He's working on us, but we're not there yet. We've got God's people to gain. Then I thought about this. We've got God's place. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said this. He said, believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house. In my Father's house. For many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I go and prepare a place. Amen. I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody about a mansion. I'll tell you something right now. A place where He is will be all right. A place, amen. I know there are many mansions in heaven, and God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. If He wants to prepare me a place by the river, it'll be all right. A place on the mountain, it'll be all right. I just believe, listen, that God's place is gained to those people, amen, that leave this world with Jesus down in their heart and down in their life. Over there in God's place, there's a street. Some make the mistake of saying streets. A street. I don't know how all that works, but I know it's 1,500 miles that away, and that away. Amen. And it's pure, transparent. I guess that means, you know, if he's on Glory Avenue and I'm on Hallelujah Boulevard, and I can look down there and say, Fred, come on up here, buddy. Amen. We'll talk to you a minute. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, won't have no names. Oh, yeah, we'll have a new name. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you right now, Lazarus recognized my friend Abraham. Amen. And the rich man recognized who was over there. And surely we'll recognize one another. Amen. In the presence of our God. Going to be gates of pearl, walls of jasper. He said, preacher, I wouldn't get too excited about that. Well, my wife and I, we took our, we call it 34th anniversary, Miss E. We just celebrated 34, 35. I'm just a year behind. I'm doing good. Amen. Took my wife over to the Biltmore. You know what? I say, what a place. Can you imagine Brother Gary putting the Biltmore around our place, beside of our place, and he's gone to prepare for us? I don't believe it'd be any comparison whatsoever. Amen. I'm a carpenter, I guess, by trade, and sometimes that gets me in a lot of trouble. Some of the men will say amen right there. I walk through that mansion and I saw stuff that needed to be fixed. Amen. Where's the maintenance man at? Amen. But you know what? Thank God where I'm going. Ain't nothing going to have to be fixed. Amen. It's going to be just right forevermore. And what a blessing to think that God has given us a place to move into when we leave this world behind. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm excited about who's there. Jesus is there. A street of gold wouldn't mean a thing if Jesus wasn't there. A wall of jasper wouldn't mean a thing if Jesus wasn't there. A gate of pearl, it wouldn't mean a thing if Jesus wasn't there. He's the light of that city. What a blessing. New Jerusalem, coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible said the gates will not be closed at all by day. There's no night there. We're going to be able to go in and out of the city. Amen. That means a country boy will get a little relief every once in a while from the city. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Word of God said. God's got us a place. God's got us a place. It's just right. Amen. Sister Kim, when you move in over there, there won't be any remodeling to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. No drop ceilings, Brother Gary. Amen. Brother Gary, he made the mistake of letting me know how good he was fixing a drop ceiling. Amen. He's my drop ceiling man. Amen. I tell you, none of that to be fixed over there. None of it. None of it. Paul said to live is Christ. But he said, listen. Let's read it. Look over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just turn back a book or so. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And such a one, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. You say, preacher, what do you think happened here? If you study this, most people believe this is when they stoned the Apostle Paul and left him for dead outside of the city. They thought, how many members that scripture? You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. How many members that scripture over there with Joseph? It was not you, but God. Amen. I believe Paul, my friend, they thought they were hurting the man of God, and I believe they ushered him into the presence of God. Amen. And Paul went up there. He saw things. He heard things that were not lawful to be uttered. He comes back down here and cannot tell about it. No wonder in the book of Philippians he's saying, hey, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. Watch this tonight. Watch this. He said, but I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. I'm just going to get to a little thing right here. We'll back up a little bit next Wednesday night. For I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. This blessed me. How many believe it's better over yonder than it is over here? That's why you went to Virginia, ain't it, Brother Larry? Better over yonder than it was over here. Amen. I'm just kidding you. Amen. Amen. They moved into Sister Jane's dad's house. Ain't that right, brother? Over in Virginia. Amen. But listen to me. Paul said it's far, far better. This is what I learned, and I'm going to shut her down right here. The Latin Vulgate, this is how it's interpreted, brother. It's a blessing to me. Much more better. I tell you, that might not be good English, but it does something for my heart. Amen. Where we're going, it's much more better. Amen. In other words, if you're going to say it in the East Tennessee vernacular, Brother Vinoy vernacular, it's going to get gooder and gooder and gooder and tweeter and tweeter. Much more better for the children of God when we leave this world. Amen. Much more better. Paul said it's far better. If you want a blessing, sometime study the book of Hebrews and go through the book and look at the word better. Better. Christ comes and it's better. Christ is our priest and it's better. Christ is our sacrifice and it's better. Amen. One day, thank God, we're going to leave out of here and we're going to go home. And it's going to be far better. Better. Far better. We walked through there last night. Brother Lonnie was laying there. You say, preacher, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? His body was laying there. This is what I told his son. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I get jealous. How many knows what I just said? That man lived for Jesus. I know when he closed his eyes and he opened them again. He opened them in the presence of God. Far better. Much more better, Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph, one of these days, is going to sing a song that I asked him to try to learn. He's singing it over in the fellowship hall while I was working a little bit yesterday. Down here, buddy, these old hearts get heavy at times. But where we're going, they'll never be heavy again. Down here, these bodies are at times, some of y'all in this congregation tonight are young and you don't know what I'm talking about. But you will if you live very long. Amen. You won't need a weatherman to tell you when it's about to rain. How many knows what I just said? Amen. You won't even need a barometer. You'll have one built in. An Arthur barometer. Amen. Amen. Thank God where we're going. It's far better. Much more better. How many's glad you come tonight? I love the Apostle Paul, don't you? I'm glad God sent him to us Gentiles, ain't you? Left us a word, didn't he? Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, on the authority of God's precious word, Lord, I personally believe for all of God's children, soon it'll be far better. Surely, Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Lord, tonight, the Apostle John, he saw the glorified Christ. He saw the church age. He saw the catching away of the church in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. The 24 elders around the throne. He saw the great tribulation. He saw the marriage supper. He saw the great white throne. He saw the new Jerusalem. Lord, after all that he saw, he closes the book with, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Lord, when you taught us to pray, you said to pray thus, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Lord, I pray tonight, "Even so, come." Lord, it'll be far better. Until then, help us to occupy till you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.